We're going to see now if anybody's got the verse ready to share. Anybody? So our year verse this year is Acts 4:31. And we're going to say it together a few times. And then if anybody's got it ready to go this morning, I thought I heard some. Okay, they're just talking. All right. So let's say it together this morning. Here we go, Acts 4:31. And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. All right, good job. Let's do it one more time. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. All right, good job. Now, who's got it? Anybody got it to share this morning? I know 1 week is kind of tough. All right, we'll give you till next week, but keep working on it. And I'm betting that one of the children are going to be the first ones. I'm betting that maybe Henry or George might be one of those ones to say it. Who knows? So today I want to continue to talk about praying together. And how many of you, when you think of praying, and as, you know, let's just be honest, when you think of spending time with God in prayer, how many of us think, wow, I struggle with that, I need help with that, I need to do more of that? Raise your hand if that's how you feel. Okay, I'm right there with you. And so I think it's pretty common across the board that prayer is something that as Christians we oftentimes struggle with. And what I want to do today is provide a little bit of help from the scripture as it relates to prayer and praying together, and then maybe next week talk about more about what happens when we pray together and how the Holy Spirit moves. And so we read our year verse, Acts 4:31, when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So I want you to notice that there are three things that go together in our year verse. First of all, prayer, the Holy Spirit. When they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what did they do? They continued to do what? Speak the word of God. So we see prayer, the Holy Spirit, and the word of God. Prayer, the Holy Spirit, and the word of God. These three always go together. They always go together. And so, first of all, I want to just point out the truth that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to pray. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to pray. And I want to look at a couple of scriptures. First of all, I want you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 25 and 26. So this is part of what is known as the upper room discourse. So when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, before he was arrested, before he would be crucified, as he was in the upper room, there was a lot that went on that night. Of course, they had the Passover, which became the Lord's Supper. He washed their feet, demonstrating, you know, the kind of love and service that they should have for one another. But then there was a lot of teaching that went on in the upper room. And one of the main things that Jesus was teaching them in the upper room was that he was leaving, but he was not going to leave them alone. He was not going to leave them as orphans, he would say. And I just want to highlight a couple of verses in these chapters where Jesus is encouraging them by letting them know that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and you're going to need his help. So he first of all says in John 14 and verse 25, he says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." So we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And one of the ways that he helps us is he will teach us all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Turn over to John 16 and verse 12. John 16 and verse 12. In John 16, verse 12, Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to help them in the truth, the things, the many things that I need to say. You cannot bear them now, but the Spirit comes. He will help you. John 15, Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. I want you to bear much fruit," Jesus says in John 15, much fruit. And so when we think of bearing much fruit, Galatians 5 says that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that the Spirit produces in our life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so when we think about that fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience. How many of us would say, "Oh, I've got those things down. I don't need any help with that." So it's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus would say, unless you abide in me, you won't bear this fruit. You can't do anything apart from me. And so Jesus made it very clear in his upper room discourse that the disciples will need the help of the Holy Spirit. And then as we look at other scriptures in the New Testament, turn over to Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. 8, 26 and 27. When it comes to prayer, in Romans 8, is one of the just it's an incredible chapter as Paul is describing what our life now in Jesus Christ looks like. And our life in Christ Jesus is characterized by the Holy Spirit. It's life in the Spirit. And part of that has to do with prayer, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." And then he describes how, in one particular area, how we are weak when we pray. He says, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And so when we don't know what to pray for, when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit knows perfectly the will of God for us. And He brings before the Father perfectly the will of God for our lives. I can't tell you how many times where this is where I've been, just not knowing exactly what to pray or knowing how to pray. And it's comforting to know that in my weakness in prayer, that I have the Holy Spirit who is interceding for me. And then there's two other scriptures that basically say the same thing. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And we're going to come back to this verse and look at verse 17 right before it in just a second. And then in Jude, verse 20, he says, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. So, as he describes how we are to pray, he says that we are to pray in the Holy Spirit, that we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so when we think about what does it mean for me to pray in the Holy Spirit? What does it mean for me to pray in the Holy Spirit? I think that, again, it means acknowledging I need the help of the Holy Spirit to pray. It means asking the Holy Spirit to fill me and to help me to pray. Trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me when I pray. Relying upon the Holy Spirit to inspire me and strengthen me. Trusting in the Holy Spirit to help me focus when I pray. Zechariah 2:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It is by the Spirit that we are, the strength of the Spirit, that we are able to do anything for God. And that relates also to prayer. And so the first thing, as we think about praying together, and we think about growing in that this year, many of us, we acknowledge that when we think of prayer, it's difficult. We think of prayer, there's a struggle, there's a weakness there, and the Lord knows that we have a weakness there, and that's why He has provided the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. And so first of all, I just want us to acknowledge, okay, and be honest with God. God, as we think of praying together this year, and as I think of growing in my prayer life and spending more time in prayer with You and in prayer with one another, I need help, Lord. I need help. I want to grow in that. And I pray that Your Spirit will lead me. And so first of all, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. And now I want us to add the Word of God. So secondly, I want us to see that the Holy Spirit leads us to pray when we read God's Word. The Holy Spirit leads us to pray when we read God's Word. There is a clear connection between the Word of God and prayer throughout the New Testament. So in Ephesians 6, we read in verse 18, praying at all times in the Holy Spirit. But what is the verse right before it? What does that talk about? He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. So there's a connection right there, the Word of God right before praying. And the same thing we see in the Jude passage, in Jude, I almost say chapter, but Jude verse 20, he says, "But beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit." So how do we build ourselves up in the faith? Through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that we build ourselves up with in faith. And then right after that, he says, pray in the Holy Spirit. I want to read an illustration. Are y'all familiar with George Mueller? George Mueller was a guy who lived in the 1800s in England, and the Lord moved on his heart to start orphanages to minister to all the children in England that, you know, didn't have families or families, you know, couldn't take care of them, just the poverty, the extreme poverty, and to provide for them. And here, one of the things that makes George Mueller's ministry stand out was that he said, "God, I'm going to trust in you to provide, and I'm not going to ask anyone for help. I'm not going to ask people to provide money or to provide funds because I'm going to trust in you to provide." And so Mueller shares some insights about his prayer life, and there was a drastic change that took place in his prayer life. He says, for about 10 years, his practice was to get up in the morning and to give himself over to prayer until breakfast. And this is kind of what he did for 10 years. That's an extended period of time. But he was kind of, after 10 years, you know, frustrated with that. And so he tried, he made a decision to change it up to before, instead of just giving himself to prayer before breakfast, to giving himself over to the Word. And I want you to hear what he says. He says, "The difference then between my former practice and present is this. Formerly, when I rose, I began to pray as soon as possible and generally spent all my time till breakfast in prayer, almost all the time. But what was the result? I often spent a quarter of an hour or a half an hour or even a whole hour on my knees before being conscious of having received comfort, encouragement from the Lord, humbling of my soul," and on and on. "And often, after having suffered much from wandering of mind for the first 10 minutes or quarter of an hour or even half an hour, I only then really began to pray." So you hear what he's saying there? He said, so what I experienced was that when I prayed, oftentimes it was a quarter an hour, half an hour, or sometimes a whole hour in prayer before I really sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. Comforting me, encouraging me, humbling me, leading me to confession and repentance. And then most often, he said, my mind is for the first 10 minutes or first 15 minutes or even first 30 minutes. My mind's just wandering here and there and everywhere. So that's what he did for about 10 years, and that's kind of what he went through. But he was still praying every morning. That was his practice. But there was the struggle. He goes on to say, now I scarcely ever suffer in this way, for my heart being nourished by the truth of God's word, being brought into experimental fellowship with God, I speak to my Father and to my friend about the things that He has brought before me in His precious Word. It often now astonishes me that I did not sooner see this point. And yet now, since God has taught me this, it is as plain to me as anything that the first thing the child of God has to do in the morning is obtain food for his inner man. I began, therefore, to meditate on the Scriptures, on the New Testament, from the very beginning in the morning. The first thing I did ever, after having asked in a few words of the Lord's blessing upon his precious word, was to begin to meditate on the Word of God. searching, as it were, in every verse to get blessing out of it, not for the sake of teaching or preaching, but for my own sake, the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. The result I have found to be almost invariably is that after a few minutes, my soul has been led to confession in prayer, or thanksgiving, or intercession, or supplication, so that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer, but to meditation. So I give myself, first of all, to meditation, and this is, it leads to prayer. He says, when thus I have been for a while making confession or intercession or supplication or have given thanks, I go on to the next word or the next verse, turning all as I go on into prayer for myself or others as the word may lead, but still continually keeping before me the food for my soul, which is the meditation of God's word. The Holy Spirit leads us to pray through the Word of God. So let me give you a personal example. Following the plan that we have out there, I have it in my other Bible, but following the plan. So right now it's, what is it, the 12th? Today's the 12th? So we're 11th? It's 12th, 12th. Okay. All right, don't mess me up now. So we're kind of like Genesis, you know, chapter 12 or 13. We've read through Ezra, we're in Nehemiah, Matthew 12 or 13, Acts, you know, 12 and 13. So as you're reading through these scriptures, we'll just take Genesis, for example. So as you're reading through Genesis, and the Holy Spirit leads us to pray through the Word of God, and as we open our Bibles and we say, I trust in you, Lord, I trust in you through the Holy Spirit to guide me, to teach me, to open my eyes, to speak to me through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we come to the word as food for the soul. And what will happen as we do this is God will reveal himself to us. And he will lead us to prayer. And so, as you're reading Genesis 1, which is the creation account, the first 6 days of creation, and we won't read it all, but just let's look at the fourth day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens and give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. Oh, let's just throw the stars in there. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. So as you read the Word of God there, and as you meditate on God's creative energy and power, and you think of the sun and the glory and the power of the sun, and you think about how the sun gives life and causes things to grow, and you think how it's the exact distance from the earth that it needs to be for life to be sustained, and you think about all the stars, we don't even know how big the galaxy is. And so as you think through God's word of his creative power, one of the things that it will lead you to do, first of all, in prayer, is to worship. To worship and praise God for his great creative power and energy. To bow before him in wonder and awe and fear of the Lord. And so Genesis 1 leads us to worship and praise the Lord in prayer, and that should be part of our prayer. Part of our prayer should be adoration and worship and praise. The Word of God, as we behold the glory of God in his Word, will lead us to do that. The Holy Spirit will lead us through the Word to worship and praise. Then we come to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, we see how God provides man all he needs. He places him in the Garden of Eden, and God provides Adam with Eve. And so as you look at Genesis 2, and you see God says, this whole garden, it's all yours. You can enjoy it all. You can eat of all the fruit that you see, all the trees except the one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what does that lead us to do in prayer? It leads us to thank God for his provision. Thank you, Lord, for how you provide. Thank you, God, for your, as Jesus teaching us to pray, thank you for your daily bread. Thank you for how you provide. Thank you for how you put the roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for food to eat today. Thank you, Father, for how you've given me health. And so Genesis 2, God leads us in our prayer time to a time of thanksgiving, and thanksgiving should be a part of our prayer. And then in Genesis 3, of course, we see the fall, and we see sin. We see how man is tempted. He gives into temptation, and he sins. He disobeys God. And so one of the things that that leads us to do in Genesis chapter 3 as we read the Word of God is to confess our sins. Lord, I'm easily deceived. Lord, I disobey you. Lord, I don't love you with all my heart as I should. I don't love my neighbor as I should. Lord God, I disobey you. I don't trust in you as I should. And so it leads us to confess our sin. Confession should be a part of our daily prayer time, confessing our sins before God. And then Genesis 3 also leads us to trust in God for his provision, for his grace, for his mercy and forgiveness. Lord, I trust in how you have provided a covering for me. I trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been given to me. I trust in the merits of Christ alone, not my good works or my attempts of righteousness, but I trust in you. And then, of course, as we trust in God for his grace and provision and for all that we need, it also leads us, as we read that chapter, to then think of others that we need to pray for. Lord, I pray for my brother or my sister or my mom or my dad who doesn't know Jesus. And so that's just a little snippet of how when we come to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit leads us to pray as we read God's Word. So if you're struggling with prayer, and this thought of praying together is already causing you to be like, oh, I just don't know if I can do this. I want to encourage you. Number one, just acknowledge I'm weak when it comes to prayer. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, how does the Holy Spirit work in my life and help me to pray? Well, the Holy Spirit helps me to pray when I meditate on God's Word. And so if you will make, as we see Mueller, I'm going to come before the Word and I'm going to meditate on the Word and I'm going to trust in the Holy Spirit to lead me to pray, worship, praise, adoration, thanksgiving, confession, repentance, supplication. I'm going to trust in the Holy Spirit. And so with our Bibles open and as we meditate and we read slowly through the Word of God, you know what you will experience? You'll experience the Holy Spirit speaking, the Holy Spirit moving, the Holy Spirit guiding you to pray. The Holy Spirit will lead us to pray when we read the Word of God. And then you know what will also happen, and we see it, of course, clearly in our year verse. So, number one, we need the Holy Spirit to pray, to help us to pray. Number two, the Holy Spirit will lead us to pray when we read God's Word. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit will empower us to share the Word of God with others when we pray. When they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did the Holy Spirit lead them to do? How does the verse end? And they continued to what? Speak the word of God with what? Boldness. They continued to speak. So they prayed, the Holy Spirit filled them, and then the Holy Spirit empowered them to speak the word of God with boldness. So here's another area in which we are all weak: sharing the word of God with others. And you know why we're weak there? Because we're afraid. Just being honest, just being real. We're afraid of how people are going to respond. We're afraid of what they may say. We're afraid they may not like us anymore. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need boldness. And the boldness here is not, an in-your-face kind of boldness or an arrogant kind of boldness. It's just that quiet confidence that I know Jesus is the Lord and Savior. And I know that there's no salvation outside of Jesus. And I know the difference that Jesus has made in my life. And I know that it is only through a relationship with Jesus Christ that you can be saved, that you can know life, the fulfillment of life the way God intends. And I know that outside of Jesus Christ, your life's going to be a wreck. I know that. And so as we pray and as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit will then do? We've been meditating on the Word. The Holy Spirit, through the Word, is leading us to pray, helping us to pray. And then the Holy Spirit will fill us with a quiet confidence and eagerness and excitement to then share the Word of God with others. And it's, you know, in Acts chapter 4, when the disciples are threatened by the religious leaders, hey, you guys can't teach or preach in His name anymore. And this is what Peter said, and this should be, you know, as the Spirit works in our lives and fills us and empowers us, our response will be the same. Peter said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. We can't help but speak of what we have seen and heard. There's no way we can remain silent. We saw the risen Lord with our own eyes. You know, we can't be quiet about that. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit, as we pray, the Holy Spirit fills us, empowers us. We will leave this place on Sunday and we'll leave and go to our homes and we'll go to our neighborhoods and we'll go to our workplace. And the Holy Spirit will empower us to proclaim the Word of God. We can't help but speak of what Jesus has done in our lives. And so today is about helping us to pray. And here's how I would like for us to close our service this morning. We close by kind of talking about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to proclaim the Word of God. So this coming Thursday, our church begins the outreach at Woodstock Elementary, the Good News Club, the Child Evangelism Fellowship. And praise God, we had a meeting this past Thursday. I think it was Thursday this past week. And more people were there than I think we all thought was going to be there. And so God's already working. So let's think about, as a church, this opportunity that God has placed before us. And this is not the ministry of, you know, three or four or five people. This is the ministry of our church. We, as a church, are embracing this outreach opportunity. God has given us an opportunity to proclaim His gospel to the children that He sends our way at Woodstock Elementary. And each child represents a family. And so I want us to pray today for that ministry. I want us to pray that children will come, that God will bring children to that ministry, that it will grow. And I want us to pray that God will be with those that will be there week after week. And, you know, if you're interested in serving in that ministry, it's going to be every Thursday from 3:10 to 4:30. Is that right? 3:10 to 4:30. And so you can talk to myself, Rebecca, Jan, and Vicky, Era, some of those that were there. If you are interested, there's some things that you have to go through, but I want us to pray that God's hand will be on that ministry. And, you know, as we move throughout the year, that the Holy Spirit, as we continue to pray and God continues to fill us with the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will empower us to share the Word of God with others. And that we'll see people saved this year. That we'll see people saved. People baptized because their lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to close our service in prayer again. And those of you that would like to, let's gather around the altar this morning in prayer. And so let's pray for this Thursday. Let's pray that God will just bring the kids. Let's pray that God will speak through the workers. Let's pray that God will help us to pray. Let's pray for Beth. Remember the prayer request. Let's remember Beth this morning also in our prayer. And I'm also wondering, is there anyone else that has a prayer need that we can remember? Any other prayer needs this morning? Yes. Okay. All right. Francesca's going to be traveling. Anyone else? Yeah, Ernie. Okay. All right, anyone else? Yeah. Marianne, okay, let's pray for Marianne. Yeah, Don.
Yeah, my son-in-law, BJ, is having a surgery tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Surgery tomorrow. BJ?
BJ.
BJ, okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, let's those of you that would like, let's gather around the altars and close in prayer this morning. I still want to sing after we pray. Let's sing after we pray. Ken, would you open us in a word of prayer? And if anyone else would like to pray, you go ahead and I'll close us.
Father, what a gift you've given us. The gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Our newest endeavor,
Yes.
We're asking for growth here at Suburban Christian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it can only be obtained through your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But Father, we ask now that you would bless us in a powerful way. Those that will participate this week, Father, we ask that you would give them the words, give them the guidance, give them the direction. And have the Holy Spirit so alive and well that it's recognized across the city.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask this all in the precious name of Jesus.
Yes.
God, thank you that your word can go forth out in public schools still.
Yes.
God, we need so much the desire in our hearts to do as Jesus would do. Mm-hmm. Would you please give us that gift like you've given us the gift of prayer and the Holy Spirit? Would you help us cooperate, Lord, like we never have before?
Yes.
Help us, God, to be so aware, so keenly aware that the Holy Spirit is there for us to access.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, help our eyes to be open. Help the scales to be gone. Help any ounce of fear, God, to be driven away because of the boldness of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
God, show us. Show us through your word. Help us to see very, very clearly, God, with your eyes, with your heart. God, help us to read your word with our hearts, not just our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, as these children are getting to understand who Jesus is. Help them, God, to truly, truly get the simplicity of salvation.
Yes.
Help us, God. Help us to understand that that gift is available to each and every one of us. God, as you're with the ladies and the gentlemen who are going there with the children, God, help the kids see joy, the joy of Jesus on their face. Help them to see it and hear it in their words.
Yes.
God, thank you for this opportunity. Help us, Lord, to have Jesus first.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
Dear God, we just want to thank you for giving us the gift of prayer.
Yes.
And as we go out to Woodstock among the neighborhoods, I pray that you give us the Holy Spirit to guide us in the interactions that we have with all the people, and that that those interactions can be gospel moments.
Yes. Father, we praise your holy name. There's none like unto you, O Lord God. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the one who has given life. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the life that we have in you. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your grace and mercy that has redeemed us. We thank you, Lord, that when we were lost in our sin, that Jesus, you came and you found us. We thank you for the power of your shed blood, Lord Jesus, that washes us and cleanses us and covers us. We thank you, Jesus, that it's because of you that we can come boldly before the throne. And we thank you, Jesus, that it's based on your righteousness that we can come before you. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are at the right hand of the Father, and you ever live to make intercession for us. We thank you and praise you that you've sent the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. When we don't know what to pray or don't know how to pray, we thank you, God, the Holy Spirit, that you intercede and you pray perfectly the will of God for us. Lord, help us as a church in this coming year to pray in the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, the Holy Spirit, that you will lead us through the Word as we meditate in the Word, as we live in the Word, as we abide in the Word. God, the Holy Spirit, that you will lead us to pray, that the Word of God would shape our prayers. And Lord, I pray especially for this coming week. I pray for each one who will be involved with the Good News Club at Woodstock. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, that you will fill each one and that there will be a kindness and a compassion and a love and a tenderness and a gentleness, that the children will see Jesus in us. And Lord, that you will give us the words to say. And Lord, help us to be attentive, Lord, to the children. And who knows what kind of family life they're experiencing and what they're going through at home. And so, Lord, just give us a shepherd's heart for these children. And we pray, God, that there will be souls saved through this ministry. And, Father, we do lift up the prayer requests today that have been mentioned. And we pray, God, that you'll be with Tony and his surgery and BJ and his surgery. Be with Beth today, Lord. Place your hand of mercy and grace upon her. We lift up Mary Ann and ask, Lord, that you'll touch her. And be with Francesca as she travels, that you'll watch over her and give her safety. And Lord, just be with us this week as we, Lord, as we leave this place, that God, that we will abide with you and walk with you, and that, Lord God, your hand will be upon us. Your presence and your power will be with us. And Lord, we just will thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.